In these Sundays of Ordinary Time, the first Sundays of Ordinary Time, we are presented with Jesus as if for the first time, as the people who are hearing him and encountering him did so for the first time with this great sense of amazement at Jesus Christ in just about every different facet. There's one place where somebody says, he does all things well. And in the gospel today, what the focus is on is particularly the way that Jesus teaches. We have two in this relatively short gospel passage. There are two comments on this. It says at the beginning, the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And then after he has cast this demon out from this man, the people comment, they say, all were amazed and asked one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. And so people were responding to Jesus' teaching because he taught with authority. Now, I think that's something that for us is a little bit of a challenge, because we live in a time when people tend to dismiss and be suspicious of teaching with authority. People are very reject authority. And yet, I might submit that it might be the most persuasive way, actually, to teach if we really understand what it means. If you go back to any of your studies, maybe you have studied some philosophy or rhetoric or something like that in school at some point. If we go back to the great Greek philosopher Aristotle, he said there are three modes of persuasion, three ways that you can craft sort of a persuasive argument. One of these is called pathos, the mode of persuasion, which means to appeal to the emotions. Now, that can be very, very persuasive. It can be very, very dangerous as well. You know, I think that's what some people, like, you know, Adolf Hitler, were very good at persuasion by pathos, by appealing to people's emotions, sometimes maybe their worst emotions, you know. So that's not to say you can never use that. Emotions can spur us on to good things, but it's a kind of tricky and dangerous mode of persuasion. There's another one that I think we usually think about when we're thinking about crafting an argument, and Aristotle called it the mode of persuasion by logos. That means sort of rational argumentation, lining up your arguments and presenting them in an orderly way according to reason. And of course, that if you have the same starting point, if you agree on the same foundational things, that's very persuasive. If you can show a rational progression of argument, that can be, and it doesn't suffer from the dangers of emotionalism and that sort of thing. The problem with it, though, is that what if you don't share the same premise? Then you're never going to get to the same conclusion. Or what if you're skeptical of reason altogether? And our world that we live in right now is pretty skeptical of reason altogether, to tell you the truth. I was thinking about this, especially at this time of the year. On Friday was the sort of much reduced and largely virtual March for Life this year. You know, that great witness of people to the sanctity of human life and calling for the protection of innocent human life against abortion that happens every year in Washington. And especially when I was doing campus ministry, I went to the March for Life many times with students, and we would often stay over an extra day. There's a wonderful conference for college students called the Cardinal O'Connor Conference. It's held at Georgetown University, although it's put on by students, organized by students. It's very, very well done. They usually have very good speakers. And one of the breakout sessions at this one time was by a philosophy professor at Georgetown, actually a Jesuit priest, who was, among other things, you could tell, a very good teacher. He knew how to do pedagogy, you know, with this group of people that he'd never even seen before, and he could really engage. And his topic was to show how what the church teaches, the dignity of human life and opposition to abortion, is completely rational, that it is according to right reason. And it's according to the natural law. You don't have to appeal to theology whatsoever to see what's wrong with abortion. And it was very well done, very engaging. And one of the students, one of the people that was in this breakout session asked him the question, said, "Well, Father, that was a really great presentation, but what if people don't accept the same foundational principles you're talking about? You're never going to get to the same conclusion." And good teacher that he was, he threw that question back to the class. He said, "Well, what would you say?" And I was very impressed by this observation that this young man made at that thing. It was actually a member of this parish, to tell you the truth, who was there. And he said, "Well, you know, what you showed us was this method of persuasion by rational argument, you know, that by logos, as Aristotle would say. But you know, there's another one, and this is the third one. And it's called the mode of persuasion by ethos. And sometimes it's referred to by persuasion by authority." That's what I think that the people meant when they said Jesus spoke with authority. That there was a complete identity and integrity between and congruence between what Jesus was teaching and what Jesus did and how Jesus led and how his followers were inspired to follow him. It was all one. He was speaking with integrity. You know, that's what they said. They said, "He speaks as one having authority and not as the scribes." You know, there's another place in Scripture where Jesus says about the scribes, he says, "Do everything that they teach you." They teach very well. You know, they lay out the good presentation of the law, you know. "But do not be like them. Don't follow their example." Because they were lacking in that integrity. You know, he would really call them out on their hypocrisy. And so what people saw in Jesus was teaching with authority. That he taught and lived and led and inspired everything in one voice, one truth. And that truth was powerful and effective. People heard it and they were persuaded, even if they didn't necessarily understand the rational argument sometimes. They said, "I've got to follow this man. He teaches in a way that no one else does, in a way that's in complete integrity, with complete integrity." We see the power of his teaching with this demon that he drives out. Listen to what the demon says before he leaves the man. He says, "I know who you are." How did he know? Because of this integrity of Jesus teaching with authority, what Jesus said and what Jesus did and how Jesus led and how Jesus inspired others, all spoke to the fact that he is the Holy One of God. And the demon recognized that and obeyed, departed. Because when God speaks, his word is effective. How was the world created? God spoke and it happened. Because there is this integrity, this supreme authority within God. You know, we're going to say at the beginning of the creed, "I believe in one God." Unity is a characteristic of God. The one, the true, the good, the beautiful. The one. And so there is this integrity. And so those of us who profess to be and aspire to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ need to live in this same integrity, to live and to speak and to order our lives with this sort of authority, with this ethos of Jesus Christ. to let his mind and thoughts be our mind and thoughts, to let his heart be our heart, to let his hands and feet be our hands and feet, to let his attitudes be our attitudes, so that we give witness to Jesus Christ. You know, the Greek word for witness is martyr. That's why martyrs are so powerful. They give witness. They have this integrity of what they profess all the way to the giving of their lives. And so, for example, this is what this young man was saying about perhaps the way that we could be more persuasive in the world about the dignity and sanctity of all human life in the area of abortion and every other area is if we teach with the authority of Jesus Christ and not as the scribes, to make sure that our witness is with integrity, that it doesn't have any hypocrisy about it. That, for example, when we teach about the sacred dignity of innocent, unborn human life, that it needs to be protected from abortion, that we also, although, and that is the premier moral issue of our country, according to our bishops, but there are also other issues about the sanctity of human life that we have to profess also. We can't pick and choose. That's what the word Catholic means. It means the whole thing. A heretic is somebody who picks and chooses their truths. As Catholics, we have to live the whole thing. There was another Jesuit priest, a great theologian, who said one of the most important words in Catholic theology is the word and. Not either or, but both and. And so to make sure that we're speaking with a consistent voice for life and the dignity of the human person in every aspect of life. We also need to make sure that our life bears witness to what we say. And our leadership is the kind of thing that calls forth the good in other people. Sometimes when we get in disagreements with other people, or we're maybe trying to engage in argumentation or persuasion, what we do is, when the people maybe don't start to agree with us, we just turn up the volume, and basically, you know? And maybe turn up the intensity or something like that. Actually, that doesn't usually tend to be all that persuasive, actually. It might get the other person to be quiet because they just can't take the noise anymore, but it doesn't usually persuade. And so we want to speak the way that Jesus spoke, to recognize and to seek out the other person, maybe even particularly people that we don't agree with, to speak to them the way that Jesus spoke, which was usually in meekness, which is not weakness, but recognizing their dignity. I know in this very divisive time we've been coming through, I've heard some talks that I thought, wow, that was a really good argument, you know? Persuasive as an argument, but the way it was delivered was with so much bitterness, with so much scorn and derision towards the people you were supposedly trying to persuade. How could that ever persuade, you know? And so let us trust in this, the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way he teaches, with authority, with integrity of the whole entire of our Christian life and witness, so that people say, whatever that person has, I want. And that the demons of our time will be cast out by that witness, by that authority, which is the authority of Jesus Christ.